All right, and at this time, we'll have a special by Brother Steve Huseby.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. There's many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver line. There the sun is always shining, there's no tears that will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains they touch the sky, there's many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Yes, I know who.
holds our hand. Amen? We know who holds our hand. You know, doctrine is very important. Knowing what the Bible teaches, and the theology behind it, all of that is very, very important. We don't want to minimize that one bit. But like that song says, whether we understand the Bible from cover to cover, whether we understand everything about Jesus Christ, really is not as important. It is to know that He's alive and well, He's our Lord and Savior, our coming King, and He holds our hand. Through all the trials of life, all the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the valleys and the mountains, the trials and tribulations, the good times and bad times, He's always there holding our hand. Sometimes we as Christians are like spoiled rich kids. We want the Lord there in the bad times, but we don't even think about Him in the good times. But the bad times is when He really reflects His power, able to roll up His sleeve and show you His awesome strength. Amen? Troubles of life. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, please, in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, in chapter number 4. Now, Micah is a very, very small book in the Bible. It only contains 7 chapters, only a couple of pages probably in your Bible. It's a book that follows Daniel. If you look at Daniel, if you can find Daniel, it's one of the larger books. There's Hosea, Joel, and then Micah there. Jonah, Micah. But in chapter number 4, verse number 5 is our text this morning. I'm going to ask you, once you find it, to stand in respect of the Word of God as I read the text this morning. Then I'll ask you to sit down and we'll pray and then we'll preach. Let's all stand up, kids. And Nolan, stand right up. That a boy. Stand up good and strong. Amen? We're going to read the Bible this morning. All right, chapter number 4, verse 5. Micah says this. He's a prophet of God. He says this. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God. Notice it's small g. In the name of his God. All the people will walk in the name of his God. And we, that's the saved, that's the Jew, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Father, we come to you this morning. I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you so much that we have a Bible that we can trust. That's not a fairy tale. It doesn't contain fairy tales. It's the Word of God. It's truth. We thank you for it. There's no other book on the planet, Lord, that contains truth like the Bible. The Bible contains all truth. Every word is the Word of God that He wants us to know, and I thank you for it, Lord. Without your book, without your Bible, there's many times in life that I would not know which way to turn. Without your Bible, I would not know how to treat my wife. Without your Bible, I would not know how to raise children. Without your Bible, I would not know how to be a church member. Without your Bible, I would know nothing about salvation. Without your Bible, I would not know anything about the end times and what we can expect. Without your Bible, I would not know how you want me as a believer to live. And I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the instruction it gives, for the admonitions and the encouragements that it provides. I thank you, Lord, that when I'm down, I can read the Bible and be lifted up. I thank you when I'm up, I can learn from the Bible that I ought to help my fellow man and I can help him come to know the Lord as his Savior. I thank you for the Bible this morning, that we have a book that we can preach from and believe. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone here this morning that is not saved, dear Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch their hearts today throughout the preaching time. And I pray that during the invitation, they might step out and come and say, Pastor Rick, I'd like to be saved this morning. I'd like to know that heaven's my home. I'd like to know that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I want to know that, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that they might step out and come today. Ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, that verse, verse number 4, I'm going to get into the actual text of what that verse is about as we go through the message in time, but not in the beginning. I just want to emphasize once again what it says in verse 4. And it says in verse 4, Micah speaking, he says in verse number 5, he says, for all people will walk every one in the name of his God. Does that sound like today? And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. What we see here is a contrast. We see a contrast between the God's people and the devil's crowd. We see a contrast between those that worship their own various gods and those that worship the Lord God Jehovah of the Bible. We see a great contrast here. And my message this morning has to do with making a firm resolution. Now, this could be a message that would be preached the first day of the new year. It's not the first day of the new year. We're almost in the second month of the new year. But the whole idea behind this message this morning is that we need, as believers, to make firm resolutions. Firm resolutions. The subject of this verse, verse number 5, as I look at it, I try to glean a subject from it, and I see a subject today that simply states, walk in Jesus' name. Walk in Jesus' name. My introduction says this, there are many ways to walk in this life. By walking, I mean the way in which we choose to live. We can walk in the flesh, or we can walk in the Spirit. Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So walking in the flesh means living the way we want to live as opposed to the way God wants us to live. If God is our Lord, then we walk the way He wants. Our text is the prophet Micah saying to Israel that they will walk in the name of the Lord their God. Now, I asked this question, and I'm going to try to put it down in a couple of ways this morning before we get to the end of it. When Micah says that the people of Israel, God's people, will walk in the name of the Lord their God, why does he say that? Why does he build a contrast here? Because that's really not what the whole book of Micah is about. But why does he say that in verse number 5? Because he wants us to know that we walk in his name, and I apply us to Israel at this point in time, even though this is talking about Israel and not us. But as believers, the verses I quoted in the book of Romans and Galatians show once again that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So really, we are involved in this. We walk in the name of the Lord. Why do we walk in his name, though? Very simply put, because his name is the mighty God. His name is the mighty God. And because he is a mighty and the mighty God, if you will, we have no problem walking in his name. We believe in him. We trust in him. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our coming King. And we walk and live in his name. We don't live in the flesh any longer. We're saved. We're Christians. We have an obligation and responsibility to live a Christian testimony and live the way God wants us to live. And so to live and walk in his name is not a problem because we know that his name is the mighty God. His name also is the Lord God. By the designation Lord God means that he is my Lord. I'm not his Lord, he is my Lord. And as my Lord, I am subject to him. And therefore, I walk in his name because he's my Lord. That's my responsibility. That's the responsibility of every born-again child of God on earth, to walk in the name of his God. I also walk in his name because he's my father. He's my father. As my father, I am his son. I'm his child. And as a father, he takes care of me. Every child that's here this morning, God takes care of them. Every child here this morning, their parents take care of them. That's their responsibility. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's their responsibility to take care of their children. And it's God's responsibility to take care of us. Therefore, I have no problem walking in the name of God because he is my Father. He is also my Savior. I love the Lord Jesus Christ because he saw fit to save this wicked, wicked soul. He saw fit to save me. Came into my heart and saved me when I was 29 years old. Saved me, gave me a new lease on life, made me born again, took away my sin, gave me a home in heaven. He's my Savior. I have no problem trusting he as my Savior. I have no problem walking in his name. I'm not ashamed to call him my Savior. You know, a lot of people say, well, he's just a crutch. You don't really need him. Just do it yourself. Well, no, I needed Jesus Christ. I need him every day of my life. And someday, maybe you'll understand, you need Jesus Christ. You and I can have all kinds of resources. We can have all kinds of accolades. We can have all kinds of degrees. We can have a lot of things in life. But I'll tell you something, when those are taken away, you realize how much you need a Savior. You realize how strong he is and how weak you are. We need a Savior, and I'm not ashamed to call him my Savior. I'm not ashamed to walk in his name. I'm actually thankful that he allows me to walk in his name. It's a privilege to walk in his name. Also, I have no problem with that because he's my counselor. As I said, even in my opening prayer, there's so many places in the Bible where he counsels us. There's so many things in life that you and I don't know. Oh, we may understand certain academic things in life, and there's certain physical attributes in life that we understand. There's certain things that we know and we understand. I mean, the Bible even talks about lost people being very good with money and economics, and they're very good with some of these things of life. But there are areas in life where you have to have the Word of God. You have to have the counsel from Almighty God. You have to have his intelligence. You have to have his input. You have to have his ability to show you how to make the right decisions. So many things in life that you cannot adapt without the Word of God. So I have no problem walking into God, walking in the Spirit of God, because he's my counselor. And last on this point here, he is my Prince of Peace. You know, sometimes folks, you know, read the story of the birth of Christ at Christmas time, and they'll say, well, you know, the Bible talks about peace on earth, and we certainly don't have peace on earth. What many folks fail to realize is that's not talking about peace on earth in the sense that there's no more war. It's not talking about peace on earth in the sense there's no more violence or crime. There's always going to be that as long as we have a carnal nature. Banning guns is not going to change anything as long as man has a carnal nature. Remember that FBI report I passed out in church the other night? The majority of murders in America are done with baseball bats. Baseball bats. I don't see any ban on baseball bats. It's ridiculous how we are. Now, I'll tell you something. Is your baseball bat registered that your kids use? You better check into that. But I'll tell you something. He's my Prince of Peace because he established peace between me and God the day he saved me. See, the Bible says before you get saved, you're an enemy of God. Whether you and I understand it or not makes no difference. The Bible says we're our enemies of God because we don't live for God and by God and with God. And we're not born through God. But when we are saved, we are born again by God. Born again by God. He's the Prince of Peace. He establishes peace between me and his Father. I have no trouble walking in the name of God because of that. It doesn't bother me one bit. And the Israelites are going to walk in the name of their Lord God one day. And every other man's going to walk ultimately in the way of his God. One day we'll walk in the name of our God in the future and in the presence right now. And also because his name is Creator. I read that aspect of that little ditty that Bill Haslett gave me this morning about the legislature saying up here, probably was Friday or Thursday, it was last week. They presented a bill up here, a Republican for Billings presented a bill that school teachers have the right to teach creation as opposed to evolution, or evolution as opposed to creation. They have a right to do that. But he said, you know, really, that is to be taught in Sunday school with other religious fairy tales. He said, this is a scientific fact of evolution. It does not need to be taught in public education. It's a fairy tale, but that needs to be done in Sunday school. Well, I'll tell you something, there's wild things going on in this world. But I have no trouble walking in the name of my God because of the fact that he is the Creator. He created all things. There was a visiting campus speaker arguing before a college audience one day that scholarship is an important form of Christian discipleship. Since discipleship deals with God's world, it has to be done in such a way that it honors Christ, he said. Then he went on to say, in his concluding remarks, he said, there is not one square inch of the entire creation about which Jesus Christ does not cry out, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold and silver, the Bible says, is God's. Creation is God's. This is his. We don't have to worry about protecting the planet. God's going to take care of that. We need not abuse it, but we don't have to worry about it being destroyed by man. God's going to take care of it. It's his. It's not ours. So when I look at all these things together, I have no problem. No problem at all. Walking in the name of God, I have no problem walking in his name one bit. When I lay out these things and I look at these things, and then I look at the last one I got down here, because his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, when I stop and think about that, Friday we went down to Tyler Huseby's induction into the National Guard down in Butte. And when we were standing there after it was all over, it was a great ceremony. When it was all done, and of course Josh, Captain Clement, where is he? He did it yesterday. When we were down there, when we got all done, we were walking out, and they got all of these pictures on the wall of all of these high staff officers and this and that. And right at the top is President Barack Hussein Obama's picture. And I said to Tyler, I said, that's your boss right up there now. Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I don't have to think like that. I don't have to think like that, because my King and my Lord, I walk in his name. Walk in his name. I want to be a good citizen, pay my taxes, and do all that the government says is what I need to do. And I want to be a good citizen. I want to be a good American. But God is my God, my coming King and my Lord of Lords. I don't ever want to forget that. So because of that, I have no trouble walking in his name one bit, because of who he is. Now I ask the question, to walk in his name, I ask this question, why? Why is it so important? I listed some things a moment ago, but the second point is, why is it so important to walk in the name of God? Well, offhand, the opposite is disastrous. Now you think about it, it's disastrous, the opposite. To walk in the flesh and not become a believer and walk in the Spirit is disastrous. I mean, it's very, very, very disastrous. Well, once again, I'll turn to the Bible to find that out. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, it says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, sin's tough. We live in sin, it's tough. I lived in sin for 29 years before I became born again, before I got saved. And it's tough. My life was a mess. I caused more trouble and more heartaches to people than I want to talk about. But it was a mess. Sin is disastrous. Now, everybody doesn't live in gross sin. I understand that. But I'll tell you, when you're young, it's amazing how you get into some of that stuff. And it's not good. It's disastrous. I wish I had been raised in a Christian home and been able to go to Sunday school like these little kids here this morning. I wish I had been able to go to Sunday school like you and had nice teachers like you. You don't know how fortunate you are. What a blessing that is for these children. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So we may think that's right, but until we crack the Word of God and get into the Bible, we may find out that it's not right in God's eyes. So it's disastrous to walk in the flesh. Luke chapter number 15, Bible talks about the prodigal son, how that he won his father's inheritance and he went out and he spent it on riotous living, the Bible says. Riotous living. And then after it all was spent on wine, women, and song, it's all gone, he's starving to death. And he gets a job going into the fields and feeding pigs. And the owner of the pigs will not allow him even to eat the garbage that the pigs are eating. He's starving to death. And he says this, "I'm going back home, Father, because in my Father's house, the servants are better off than I am." And he did that. But once again, I'm emphasizing all of this because riotous living, the opposite of living in the flesh is living in the Spirit. That's what God wants. When we live in the flesh, it's very disastrous to the human soul. Someone asked Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens is the one that wrote about Scrooge. Most of you kids have seen a movie about Scrooge, the old stingy guy at Christmas time. Well, Charles Dickens was asked once, "What is the best short story in the English language?" You know what his reply was? "The prodigal son." The prodigal son. See, even Charles Dickens as a man knew the disaster of living to the flesh. And the whole story of the prodigal son sowing everything in riotous living, it came back to him and he went home to his dad and he was restored far better than he was in the beginning, all because of the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the name of God. That's why it's so important. My last point this morning, why does it take a firm resolution to walk in the name of God? Why does it take a resolution? Why does it take a firm resolution? We all make resolutions, don't we? I mean, New Year's Eve resolutions just coming out our ears. And if you haven't made a resolution, you're lying. We all make New Year's resolutions. We all say, well, I got 365 days now to change some things. We like to make resolutions. But I got two illustrations I think will help with this point of why does it take a firm resolution to walk in the name of God? Why does it take that? Why isn't it such an easy thing to do? Why isn't it a natural thing to do? Well, listen to my illustrations. A boy told his father, he said, "Dad, now you kids listen to this now. Listen up here. If three frogs were sitting on a limb," Nolan, listen to me now. "If three frogs were sitting on a limb that hung over a pond, and one frog decided to jump off into the pond, how many frogs would be left on the limb?" There's three. And one jumps into the pond. How many are left on the limb? Two. All right, very, very good. That's what the father said. The dad said two. And his son said, "No, there's not two left. No, no, there's not two left." He said there were three frogs and one decided to jump. How many were left?
One.
That's what the dad said. There's two left. Son said, "No, no, no. Oh, I get it," the dad said. "If one decides to jump, the others would too. So there's none left." Does that sound right? The boy said, "No, Dad. The answer's three." The frog only decided to jump. That's why it takes firmness to make a resolution to walk in the name of God. Because we are prone to indecision in life. We're prone to it. We all are indecisive in so many areas of life. We make a New Year's resolution and 3 weeks later, it's gone. Because it wasn't firm, it wasn't solid, it wasn't concrete. We're prone to that. We're prone to indecision. We have a propensity to do that. That's the way we are as carnal humans, to be very indecisive in so many areas of life. And when we live in such a rich country as America and have such great opportunities as Americans, as Montanans, people living in this great area we live in, we have so many blessings. It's very easy to be indecisive because we have so many choices out here. And if something doesn't seem to pick us up in life, we change and we go to something else. Indecisiveness is a terrible thing. A preacher was welcoming the people on the first Sunday after New Year. He said to the congregation, "I trust that everyone has made a resolution for the New Year, and I hope your resolution is to come to church every week." And he went on to say, "If that was your resolution, then you've kept it for 1 week so far. Congratulations." Then the pastor went on to say, "I heard about one poor guy who decided to make only resolutions in the year that he could keep. He resolved to gain weight. He resolved to stop exercising. He resolved to read less. He resolved to watch more TV. He resolved to procrastinate more. And he resolved to quit giving money and time to charity. And lastly, he resolved never to make New Year's resolutions again." Now, once again, what does this have to do with your point to make a firm resolution? Well, very simply, it takes firmness to make a commitment. It takes firmness to make that commitment to walk in Jesus' name. It takes a real firmness to make a commitment like that. And we are prone to take the easy way. This is why this guy made this resolution, all of these various things. It's easy to gain weight. It's easy not to read. It's easy to watch TV. Isn't it easier to watch TV than to read a book? Well, sure, all you do is sit there. That's easy. We're always prone. We have that propensity. We have that in us to take the easy way out. So many times when you read your Bible, over and over again, you see men, women, nations, armies taking the easy way out. Micah, in this great book, not a long book, but a great book by a prophet of God. In this book, Micah is prophesying that after the captivity of Israel, first by the Assyrians and then by the Babylonians, Israel will eventually turn back to the Lord and walk in His ways. That's what he's trying to bring across. The resolution of the Jews is, as Jehovah gives us hope to so glorious a resolution or restoration one day, although our temple and nation are overthrown, we will, in confident dependent on God's promises, persevere in the true worship of Him. However the nations around us become, we will resolve and persevere to walk in the name of our God, no matter what anybody else does. The Jews were thoroughly stopped from idol worship by the Babylonian captivity. See, they went through a disastrous period of time. It lasted 70 years. God took them through the fire. But after they came through that fire, based on their own personal sins as a people, they made a firm resolution that from here on out, based on all the promises of the great restoration of God to our country, we are going to begin to walk in the name of our God. And that's exactly what we need to do. Even if America is destroyed economically, even if our president kills this country physically and every way else, it seems to be what's happening around here, we still need to be a people, no matter what happens, to walk in the name of our God and not give up. Even if our churches are destroyed, even if they tax our tithes and offerings, no matter what they do, we have to make a firm foundation. We have to make a firm resolution that we're not going to give up. We're not going to take the easy route. We're not going to take the way out that many others take. And we're not going to be a people of indecision. We're going to be people who stick by the stuff and do the job no matter what and walk in the name of our God. That's the kind of people we need in America today. That's the kind of people church houses need. That's the kind of husbands your wife needs and wife your husband needs. That's the kind of men and women that these kids need. To make Micah your personal commitment, or to make this verse here your personal commitment, you have to be serious and you have to decide. You got to be serious in life. There's got to be some place in life where we come to seriousness and we say, that is what God wants, and I'm going to do that. To go through a time without the Lord in your life and to walk in the flesh is a waste of precious time that you can't buy back. It's a waste of precious time, and you squander the grace of God. I say to you kids that are here this morning, you live in God's name and you walk in God's name and you live right. You're little kids right now, and I know you don't understand 90% of what I'm saying, but I'll tell you something. Live right. Do what's right. Follow mom and dad. Listen to the policeman on the street corner, and listen to your school teacher and your Sunday school teacher. Listen to these people as they read the Bible and try to teach you. They got some great things to teach you. One day you're going to see Jesus face to face. Be strong right now, because you got kids in school that don't know the Lord Jesus, and they don't know God, and they don't go to Sunday school, and they don't go to church, and they don't live like they should. Don't fall into that trap of living just like they live and doing just what they do. You be strong in your faith. You be strong. That Bible is right. The Bible is true. And that's what Micah is saying, that these Jewish people that came out of captivity and came out of hardship, they made a resolution, a firm stand they took to walk in the name of their God. And I know it's very easy to become disgruntled and discouraged in America today because of the way things are going. Already you're reading in the newspapers just this last week where people are starting to look at their paychecks after 1 month and they're realizing how much they have lost. And it's going to get worse. Not going to get better. Even today they talked about Phil Mickelson. Yvonne and Chuck, did you read that today? About him wanting perhaps to leave California because they're taxing him so high. Then he did apologize for it and said, well, I shouldn't have made that public. But at the same time, there's so many things happening in our country that are not the things we want. But at the same time, let's not give in. Let's not go the way of everybody else. Let's not put our hand out all the time. Let's be a strong people. Walk in the name of the Lord, not walk in the flesh. It's easy to walk in the flesh. Doesn't take anything. We need to walk in the name of our God. In conclusion, remember the introduction. There are many ways to walk in this life. And by walking, I mean to walk in the way in which we choose to live. Walk in the flesh, or we can walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. This is to the saved people who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walking in the flesh means living the way you want to live is opposite of the way God wants us to live. If God is our Lord, then we walk in the way He wants. It's not an option. We walk in the way He wants. if he's our God. And our text is the prophet Micah saying to Israel, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. Let me ask you this question in closing. How's your walk? How's your walk today with the Lord? Which way are you walking? Taking the easy way most of the time is walking in the flesh, doing your own thing? Or as a saved person, if you're saved, are you walking in the way of the Lord? You're walking in His name? Because I tell you something, the world out here is looking at you, and you're a living testimony of this book right here. If you're saved, you're a testimony of this book. How you living? How you walking? Are you complaining about everything under the world and under the earth and what's going on around the world? Or are you propagating the Word of God, showing people how they can come to Christ, have a new walk in life, have a home in heaven one day when they die? If you were to stand before God today, stand right before Him today, how would He view your walk? Now, and I hope and pray no one goes to heaven today. Your job, I don't think, is done yet, or you'd be there right now. But if you were to stand before God today, how would He view your walk? Would you overlook your walk and say, well, you know, as I review it all, you lived in the flesh most of the time. And as a believer, that's really not the way you were supposed to live. Oh, He's not going to throw you out of heaven. That's eternal. But it'd be awful embarrassing to stand before the Lord as a believer who lived in the flesh. Affliction and trouble may bring you back to God someday. You may go through some affliction, but through all of that, God may use it to bring you back. So don't stew over affliction and problems, unless they're problems you've caused. But if there's problems that just seem to come your way, don't get all upset over it. Just bear it. Stay firm. God will bring you through it every single time. Make a firm resolution this morning. We're going to have an invitation, have an opportunity to step out and come. And if you would like to step out and come, just maybe pray with your family or your spouse or whatever. Just begin to make a firm resolution. From now on, I'm going to walk in the name of my God. I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Let's stand. Father, we thank You this morning. Thank You so much, Lord, that You love us so, so much. Thank You, Father, that You've given us a Bible that contains all truth. Thank You so much for what You have taught us this morning through the prophet Micah as he spoke to his people. Oh, there's so much that we can apply to our lives as Christians in the 21st century. And I pray, Lord, that we can make a great application of this to us today and begin to stand up and make that resolution and say, we will walk in the name of our God. Because He is a great God, and He sent His Son to die for us. What a Savior. What a Savior. So bless the invitation. Speak unto the heart of all people that are here. Anyone here this morning, Father, that's not saved, and You've convicted them of their lostness and their need to trust Christ as their eternal Savior. Have all their sins forgiven and a home in heaven when they die. I pray they might step out, come and say, Pastor Rick, I want to be saved today. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that heaven's my home. I want such a Savior as You've preached on today. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. 377. 377 is our song this morning. So let's sing that old-fashioned song and step out and just respond as the Spirit of God leads you. Respond as God speaks to your heart. Do what God wants done.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
Step out and come today. This is your time to do business with God.
Take the cross and follow.
You may just want to come and thank Him for a blessing. Thank Him for His eternal watch care over your life. Just come today and perhaps make that resolution that I'm going to begin walking in the name of my God. I'm going to quit messing around. I'm going to start walking in His name. That's what He wants. That's His desire. You know, seeing these kids up here praying this morning, what a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful thing that is. Maybe they'll escape a lot of the things that we as adults went through in life. But we still need to make those firm resolutions and commitments when the time is right. That'd be good, Charles. Thank you, Brother Fred. I'm not going to prolong the invitation at all this morning. The Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. You know what you need to do. You know what needs to be done. I just pray that we leave out of this building today with a firm commitment that we're going to walk in the Spirit of God, walk in His blessed name, not in the flesh. Amen. Brother Al Wiegand, would you close our service in prayer? Please shake the hands of all of our visitors and all of our members, everybody around you. Let them know that you're glad to see him today. And please come back next Sunday and hear Brother Billy Carter from Livingston. You'll enjoy thoroughly as we kick off our missions month. So once again, Brother Charles will be preaching tonight. We have at 4:30 the discipleship class. And if you're involved in that or you'd like to be involved, it's the last night, but still we got two good lessons tonight. At 4:30, meet here in the church. So would you close our service in prayer, Brother Al, please.